Hi, welcome to another inspirational message recorded live at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
It's good to be with you all this morning. I just want to say thank you for putting up with me, and Pastor Alex and Pastor Naomi asked me to take the service this morning, so I extend my gratitude and honor towards them as a spiritual son in the house. I say this every time I preach, and I said this to the first service, I will probably say this until the day that I die. It is a great honor for me to stand here this morning and to minister as an extension of his ministry, as a part of what God is doing through him, rather than as a replacement. Amen. And so I just, I thank them, I honor them, I appreciate them, I miss them. If you're watching, if you're not, and you see the recording, I miss you guys and I love you guys very much. They're like family to me. You guys don't understand. They're like, maybe you do understand, but they're literally like family. Amen. So this morning, I want to talk about a very, very important topic. And like we say all the time here at Oceans, if you catch this, your life will change for forever. Amen. But I want to talk on a topic titled, The Presence Transforms. The Presence Transforms. In my walk as and I'm still a baby Christian, I'm still a very young Christian, but in like the beginning days, you know, it's always funny whenever like you see somebody that's young and they're like, oh yeah, back in the day when I was a kid. And you're like, but you are a kid. I had this happen at youth camp last weekend. One of the boys, he's like 16 or 17. And he's like, yeah, back when I was a kid, I used to, and I'm looking at him like, what? So please hear me when I say, you know, I'm still very young and I fully recognize and realize that. But right in the beginning stages, you know, This precious book right here, the Bible, for me growing up was a religious belief system. It was a book full of rules, and if I didn't follow those rules, I'd get beat over the head and smited as a heathen. I struggled to believe that God actually loved me. My mother died of cancer when I was 9 years old. I struggled to believe that there was a God out there that truly cared and loved me, and he took the most precious, or so I thought, please hear me and my heart on this, you know, he took what was one of the most precious things to me as a young child. You know, if you're so mighty and powerful and the creator of all, how you could have stopped this. And I know I'm not the only one that feels that way, because I've talked with a lot of people that struggle with that same thing. You know, I now realize that it wasn't God who took my mama, and it was the devil. And I have a vendetta against him and a vendetta against cancer, and I will do everything that I can to pay him back 100-fold for taking what he took from me. Amen. But it wasn't until I had an encounter with the presence of the living God that this belief system, this book of rules, became alive to me. And everything in my life changed. Everything. It got flipped upside down and inside out, and all my friends that I used to have were no longer my friends, and now they're my enemies, and things that I used to love to do, I didn't want to do, and it was a big, awesome mess. Because I had an encounter with something that I thought was only a fable. I thought it was only just something in a book. I thought it was a story, and I realized that he's alive today, and that he loves me. And to understand that, like, it blew me away. The presence transforms. The presence transforms. Will you turn to your neighbor and say, I have an opportunity. I have an opportunity. I have 7 points. And I would classify this morning as more of a teaching, actual points and bullet points, and I'm going to do my absolute best to stick to the notes as closely as I can. I do prefer to speak down there, though. I don't know why, it makes me more comfortable. Amen. But I want to start with this, is that the presence transforms, and I want to speak on specifically some of the things that happens when you're in the presence of God with you, with your spirit man, and with things like this. And I think it's absolutely amazing. I just heard a baby, and it's going to help me out so much. Anybody that was in the first service knows what I'm just talking about. Because I got to start with this. Okay? True hunger. can oftentimes bring you into the presence of God like this. Let me explain. If it doesn't matter who it is, I used President Donald Trump last service and the atmosphere got all stiff. It doesn't matter who it is. Anybody of importance or of social status, the Pope, President Donald Trump, it could be the guy who owns Amazon, Elon Musk, you pick it. If they were in here this morning speaking to us, there was no piano playing, and whatever they were saying, everybody wants to hear what they have to say, and nobody would disrespect the person because they want to hear what they have to say, right? So if this is busy taking place, no one's going to get out of order and make a big shout to interrupt the speaker, whoever the speaker may be. Forget that I said President Donald Trump, okay? Just whoever it is, anybody of importance, amen? But if there's a baby in the service, how many parents do we have here this morning? Can I see a show of hands? Okay. How many brothers and sisters do we have here this morning? Okay. How many of us in this place have seen a baby at some point in our life? Every hand should go up. There was one at the back of the sanctuary, just cried about 42 seconds ago. When a baby gets hungry, what do they do? Okay, now I have to say this before I bring across my point, because this is not my license now for you to get out of order. God is a God of order. He operates in order. When the church is flowing in one direction and in one way, that it's not now, okay, now I'm going to get hungry. See, it would be very out of order for somebody, while Pastor Alex is busy preaching, to now all of a sudden decide this is my moment to cry out and get hungry and scream. That would just be a distraction. Please hear me on this. But turn to your neighbor and say, I have an opportunity. There's plenty of opportunity here at Oceans Unite Christian Center. We give plenty of opportunity during worship, during praise, during prayer. There's no excuse not to come to a prayer meeting. We have a prayer meeting almost every day of the week, with the exception of Mondays. Amen? I should have got a better amen for that. Prayer's awesome. Prayer's amazing. Prayer is where that relationship happens. Prayer is where power comes. Prayer is where the kingdom of God begins to get manifested. Prayer is when intimacy with God begins to take place. Prayer is awesome. Prayer is a priority. It's not optional. Come on, you. Somebody better give me an amen. But when a baby gets hungry, they begin to cry out. And they do not give a hoot who is around. It'll be in a grocery store. It could be at a convention. It could be at the 11 a.m. service at Oceans Unite Christian Center. That baby is going to make a noise. Mama, I'm hungry. Okay, they can't talk. But what do? They cry. And if mama doesn't feed the baby, what happens to the baby? Does the baby say, okay, I get it, mom. You don't want to feed me right now, and just sits down? No, the baby continues to cry out and continues to cry out and continues to cry out until they get what it is that they want. They continue to make a noise. They continue to do the very thing to try to get the attention of the person that they need. Isn't it interesting that the very thing that they need, when they get fed, what they get fed by is what nurtures them. That intimacy with the mother is what builds them up. That feeding, they begin to grow. It sustains them. It grows them. It builds them. It makes them who they are today. But there's got to be a hunger. I love it at youth camp last week, and I'm going to reference them quite a bit because we got to see this. The youth would get into unity, and then they would begin to worship, and there was this holy hunger that would fill that room, where they would come with such an expectancy of, God, I'm going to worship. I don't care if I sound like a dying cat. I'm going to lift my voice. I'm going to lift my hands, and I'm going to worship God like it's my last opportunity to worship Him. Your last encounter is what will get you through your next trial and tribulation, but in the same breath, we cannot rely on yesterday's anointing. I need it. I need it all the time. I'm hungry for it. And the more I get fed, the more I need. I'm like a teenage boy. Parents, come on now. You know you've had one at the house, and you look in the cupboard and it's like, how did it all disappear? They just keep eating and eating and eating and eating and eating. And you would think that they would get full at some point, but they don't. That's what I am in the spirit. I just need more.
We got to have that hunger. We got to have that hunger.
So the presence transforms. See, our attitude changes everything. Our attitude changes everything. When you come to God with the attitude of, God, I need you. God, I want to spend time with you. God, I want to be with you in the good times and in the bad. We got to stop using him as a pharmacy. We got to get to the place to where we can start spending time with him when things are going great too. And just say, God, I don't actually need anything. I just want to love on you. I just want to spend time with you. Good times and the bad. But our attitude changes everything. I'm going to share one story and then I'm going to get into it. Is that okay? I got 7 points. I got to get through all 7. But at camp last week, we had this precious young girl. I shared this in the first service. Precious young girl. Remember, attitude changes everything. It changes everything. And she was not used to the things of the Spirit and the movement of the Spirit. And although we spoke on it briefly, she wasn't fully understanding and didn't quite know everything. It's all new to her. She's very young. She's like 11 or 12. And during the service, we were busy worshiping, and this young man got healed miraculously during the service. He had a dislocated shoulder. His arm was in a sling. Nobody laid hands on him. Everybody just started worshiping, and his hand just went out of the sling. The sling hit the ground. As soon as the sling hit the ground, everybody started weeping and just losing it because we just saw the miracle take place, and it was amazing. Faith rose in the room, and God just began to move during worship. During worship, there was a holy hunger. But this young girl, she was like 2 or 3 rows behind this young man that had just got healed. And she said, she came up to me after the service, and she's busy retelling everything that just took place. And she said, Pastor Mike, I was there, and I saw that happen, and I was worshiping God, and I closed my eyes, and I lifted my hands, and I just began to cry out to him, Spirit fall, the same song that we were just singing. And she said, I was busy crying out, and it's like everything that around me stopped existing, if that makes any sense. I no longer concerned myself with who I was around, and everything that was coming out of me was no longer just a song. It was coming out of the depths of inside of me. It was like I was singing from inside of me. And she said, I began to weep, and I didn't understand why. I began to cry, and I wasn't sad. I wasn't angry. You know, the angry cries. I wasn't mad. I wasn't sad. I wasn't disappointed. I just was weeping. And my hands started to shake a little, and I started getting all tingly, and then my knees started to bend, and I thought I was going to fall down, and I said, no, and I stood up. This is a very unusual story from an 11-year-old. And she's busy telling me this, and tears are beginning to fill her eyes, and she said, and the minute I said no, and I rejected what was happening, everything that was just, the whole encounter that was just happening stopped. And I was so disappointed because everything that was just happening, all I wanted was for it to come back. Now, don't worry. The precious young girl got filled the very next service and had an amazing encounter with God because the next time she knew not to reject, she just said, yes, Lord, and took it all. But our attitude changes everything. Yes, you can stop the flow of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The presence transforms. Your attitude can change everything. And I want to encourage somebody this morning that if you go to him with an attitude of gratitude in the good times and in the bad, and if you stay with that place of an open heart of, God, I just want you. I just want to see you move in my life. God, I want to spend time with you. God, I want to be with you when things are good, and I want to be with you when things are bad. I promise you, he will touch you, and he will transform your life because his presence transforms everything. Will you turn to your neighbor and say, I have an opportunity? Okay, here we go. Luke 10. Starting with verse 38, this is Mary and Martha. Luke 10, 38, it said, now it happened as they went, they entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. Isn't it funny how we can get distracted with the things around us? Isn't it funny that we can get distracted with the things of today? Isn't it funny that we can get distracted with the laundry and making sure the tree stands in the right spot, making sure the boat is hooked up, making sure the dogs are fed, making sure. Isn't it funny we can get distracted with all the things of today that we lose sight of what we really need more than anything else? I find it interesting in my own walk that if I don't start my day with him, I don't have enough time in the day to do anything. I spend the whole day going, chasing the watch, chasing the clock, because I can't seem to get anything done. I can't get enough done. But it's amazing that if I spend just some time with him in the morning and I have that communion with him in the morning, I spend a little bit of time in his presence, all of a sudden it amazes me how I can get so much done in so little time. I'm like a machine. I lay 3,000 square foot of flooring in 2 days like it's nothing. But, you know, But you got to spend time with him. You got to make time for him. God is not an option. He's a priority. This is a celebration service. We don't tolerate him. We celebrate him. We love him. We want to have that encounter. In our church service, we shouldn't sit and scratch our heads and do this the whole time. Okay, all right. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will be taken away from her." See, she was concerned with doing when really she just needed to spend time with him. The king was right there before her, and she was so distracted with everything else going on around her that she wouldn't take 2 seconds to just sit at his feet and spend time with him. And please, I'm not using this as an excuse to be lazy, because I'm so against being lazy. Do it, generation. Got to get up and do something. Do something. Amen. But spend time with him first. Make him a priority. What will you do in the presence of the king? Is my question to you this morning. Now let's jump right into this. Exodus 24 and 16. It says, "Now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. The sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. So Moses went into the midst of the cloud and went up into the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Exodus 34, 28. Let's jump to there. Exodus 34, 28. It says that, "So he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights, and he neither ate bread nor drank water, and he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments." Now, the seven results of being in the presence of God. Being in the presence of God. Point number one is that time and eternity will collide. And I don't want to stay here too long, but time and eternity will collide. When you get into the manifest presence of God, how many of us know that 10 out of 10 people die? I know it's not the most encouraging thing in the world, but the fact is a fact is a fact, right? The bears live in the woods. It's a fact. 10 out of 10 people, our flesh is a weak body. It at best, 120 years. Right? Eventually, it's a fact of life, we end up passing on. And a lot of people really, really, really get concerned about it. And I say this because I've seen it in my own family. My dad was in the first service, and we discussed this because every Cornell man, as far back as many generations as we can go, has died before the age of 65 to 68. That's kind of the end of our life cycle as a Cornell. And it's all because of lung-related issues and cancer and things of this sort. And I shared with the first group that was true up until I was born. And I'm claiming it for my father, too. Because that curse is broken, and my dad at 80 years old will still be in a tree stand with me bow hunting. I proclaim it, I declare it, I decree it, and I receive it in Jesus' name. We've got to be the change. I don't care what the generations before me happened. It stops with me. But I know this is a true fact because every family reunion, my wife gets so upset. We go to the family reunion and they'll be like, "Well, we only got another 20 years and then, you know, we're going to kick the bucket." And she's like, "Stop proclaiming that over yourself. would you quit? And they're like, oh, yeah, you got the Cornell curse. How many times have you heard that, honey? You got the Cornell curse. You're going bald and you got breathing issues. Well, praise the Lord. I only got one of the two. I'll take the bald head. It's getting a little shorter on the top, y'all. But when you spend time in the manifest presence of God, you no longer worry about that stinking Cornell curse. You no longer worry about the cancer that has plagued your family for years. You no longer worry about all these things because we live in the confounds of time. God does not. So the minute you spend time in his manifest presence, there's a collide that takes place. Because you stop worrying about now and what I'm going to get done right now. You just want to be with him. That minute that he comes into a room and you begin to worship and the manifest presence of God comes upon you, everything begins to change. You begin to be transformed. And all of a sudden, eternity is a much bigger weighing factor in your life than the 65 or 100 years that I get here. Amen? Okay, one more on time. And then we get to the fun one. Point number two. It's time becomes insignificant in the presence of God. Time becomes insignificant. It just seems to fly by and you just blink and it's gone. Okay, I'm gonna tattle on myself a little bit here. But I've been in prayer meetings. I'm not going to say here, maybe it was at my house, but I've been in prayer meetings where I'm busy praying and I'm interceding. And how many of you know that laboring in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, and really interceding for one particular thing, it's not always, fun, right? Intercession is sometimes you got to push a little bit. You know, pray until something happens. Push. You got to break through the atmosphere. You got to break through that barrier, whatever it may be. And sometimes in those seasons of intercession, when you're pushing and you're praying, you'll be praying and praying and praying and, oh, God, and da, 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 and you're praying and praying and praying and praying, and you look at your watch. It's been 2 minutes. Okay. Pray and pray and pray and pray and pray, and I'm praying and I'm praying and I'm hitting this thing in the Spirit. And I mean, I'm just like, I'm knocking it down in the Spirit. And I'm just going and I'm praying and I'm praying and I worship and I pray and I worship and I pray, and my throat is getting dry and I need a drink of water, and I got to take my suit jacket off because I got sweat rolling down my back. I'm praying and praying and praying. I look at my watch. It's been 7 minutes. If you're laughing, it's because it happens to you too. You've been there. But how many of you know in that same prayer meeting, in that 7 minutes of just working yourself to, I mean, you're just hitting this thing. And now all of a sudden the presence of God comes in. The whole atmosphere shifts. Everything begins to change. And you just like, it just, everything just goes almost like, it's amazing. Okay, it's really hard to articulate the presence of God. You just have to experience it. But when you look at your watch again, it's like 3 hours have passed. And you're like, what the heck just happened? At youth camp, these precious kids, Pastor Mike, another church, another session? We just had one like an hour ago. We got to go to prayer again? But as soon as the presence of God comes in, nobody wants to get up off the floor. Nobody wants to leave. Nobody wants to get out of that atmosphere. I try to close the service and they're begging me, no, just I want to keep worshiping. Tears streaming down their eyes, snot flowing, a big ugly cry. And it's glorious. 10:30, 11 o'clock, they don't want to go to bed. They don't want to go back to their bunks. They just want to keep worshiping. They want to keep spending time with God. Why? Because in the presence of God, time is insignificant. It doesn't matter anymore because everything that you've needed your whole life is right there in that very room. You can search for it in a bottle. You can search for it in a person. You can search for it in a substance. You can search for it in activities. You can search for it on the deck of a boat. You can search for it in a tree stand. Listen, I'm preaching to myself. It's in his presence that everything changes. Amen? So time becomes insignificant. Point number three, the body is renewed. The physical body is renewed. Deuteronomy 34:7 says that Moses was 120 years old when he died, and his eyes were not dim, nor was his natural vigor diminished. And to me, it's so encouraging. Do you want to know one of the things that encourages me so much as a young believer? Is when I see Pastor Harold come here, who is a great man of God that has been in this for a very long time. And even at his age, and I honestly don't know what his age is, so I'm not going to try to put a number to it. I just know that he's older than me. Amen. But to see a man that has walked this road and has done this and has walked the walk that he talks for over 40, 50 years, whatever it may be, to get up on this pulpit and preach like he's 19 years old with fire in his belly, to see him talk about getting up at 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock in the morning and interceding till 9 in the morning, and my lazy behind can't get up at 6, he's got something on him that has got him to where he is today. For him to be able to get up on a regular, for him to be able to preach and to minister with that kind of fire, even at his age, he's been in something that I desperately need, and it encourages me to go further. I cannot be where I was yesterday. The anointing that I had yesterday will not get me through to tomorrow. I need more. I gotta have more. Amen? And so it encourages me greatly to see somebody that ministers under an unction with power and with fire like that. The physical body is renewed. It's renewed. We had a complete physical healing at camp. Nobody laid hands on the young man. He had a dislocated shoulder. He was in a sling, eating Advil all day, trying to deal with the pain. And in worship, he was worshiping God. Everything inside of him, he was just worshiping God, and that hand said, whoop, up out of that sling, and the sling hit the ground. The physical body can be renewed. I do understand. Remember, I said this at the beginning of the service, my mother died I was 9 years old of cancer, so I don't know why God does what he does, and I don't understand everything, and I have questions for him one day when I get to see him. It's top of my list. I don't know why he doesn't heal everybody, but just because he doesn't heal everybody doesn't mean that I can't kick the baby out with the bathwater, because I have seen physical healings take place over and over and over again. Legs grown out, hands grown out, backs get straightened, headaches gone, fevers gone, cancer gone. I've seen it happen in the manifest presence of God. I cannot refute that miracles are still alive today. I've seen it with my own physical eyes. I had a shattered ankle when we first started this church. 8 weeks, I was in a cast. And I was supposed to be in this cast for 8 weeks. I shattered my ankle in a tragic running accident because I was overweight. Jogging is dangerous. Y'all gonna shout me down on that one? Amen. And God supernaturally healed it. 2 days, I cut the cast off. I've never had to go back into it. No surgery, no nothing. 2 days, 2 days, 2 days. Not one, but two. 2 days. I cannot refute that in the presence of God, physical healings can take place. Your physical body can be renewed. Okay, which brings me to point number 4. Your spirit man is energized. Your spirit man is strengthened. Your spirit man is built up. There is an energy that is released in his presence. This is not New Age theology. Please, please do not go like all wild with this one. I just don't know another word to describe it other than the energeo of God, his energy that comes in. I got to witness this morning. Psalm 51:10 says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. And do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. There's a direct correlation. I did not sleep last night. I shared with the first service. Last night was one of those nights where, like, have you guys ever gone to bed and, like, your eyes are closed and you're laying in bed and you're trying your best to get into that place of sleep, and, like, you're out and you're in and you're out and you're in, and when the alarm goes off, you shut it off and you're not really sure if you ever fell asleep, but at the same time, you know you were asleep? Anybody relate to that? I had one of those nights last night. I woke up this morning feeling like I went 10 rounds with a boxer. I mean, my back was sore. My head was sore. I felt rough. Couldn't talk. It's all grumbly. Had to get all the junk out of my throat. I just felt rough. Did not feel good. I was tired. I had bags underneath my eyes. I drank one cup of coffee, nothing. 2 cups of coffee, nothing. 3 cups of coffee, nothing. Half a pot of coffee, nothing. Little did I know I didn't need regular caffeine. I needed that Holy Ghost caffeine. I couldn't wake up. I couldn't get out of it. I was just shot. My physical body was tired. My spirit was tired. I just wanted to go to bed.
And my wife, she got up and left and came to band practice, and I was sitting at the house alone and flipped open my laptop. I turned some worship music on and I said, you know, God, I really need to go through my notes because I got to preach this morning, and you know, I got to preach this morning. But before I got into my notes, I turned some worship music on and I just began to pray. And I said, God, I need you. Holy Spirit, I need you. I need you right now. I need you. I need your presence. I need to spend a minute in your presence. I need you right now more than anything else. If I don't even get into my notes this morning, I'll trust you to get me through it. But I need you right now more than anything else. Can I tell you, his presence filled my room. My back straightened up. My eyeballs got all enlarged. I was ready to go. As I started doing a little happy dance, I started preaching to my TV. And I'm, you know, I got real evangelistic on my TV. I was ready. I promise you, if I could, that TV would have been saved. I got totally off my notes and started just, you know. What happened? My spirit man was revived. My spirit man was energized. Something inside of me awoke. I've seen it time and time and time again in a prayer meeting. We'll come to a prayer meeting and we're praying like this. And I'm guilty of this. I am not pointing the finger at anybody else but myself. And I'll be praying like this. Right? And about the fifth lap around the sanctuary, all of a sudden everything shifts. The presence of God fills this room. And now instead of yawning, you're binding and breaking and you're just going to spiritual warfare town. Something inside of me shifted. Something inside of me came awake. Awoken. Woke. I'm woke. I'm not sure what word I'm trying to say. But your spirit man can be energized. And the thing I love about it is when your spirit man comes alive and your spirit man begins to get strengthened and you begin to, that thing comes alive in you. Listen, temptation will happen regardless. Jesus was tempted. That tells me that it doesn't matter how holy and spiritual I get, I will still also be tempted. But the difference is when your spirit man is alive and well and strong and robust and things are going good, when that temptation comes and the old flesh man wants to rise back up out of that grave, the spirit man stiffs arms him and says, get back down there. You stay in the grave, you rotten old bugger. You heathen, right? The temptation will still come, but you're far more easily able to say no. It's a lot easier to say no to that temptation. Temptation isn't sin. Heeding to the temptation is. Amen? But it happens in the presence of God that everything inside of you begins to change. Okay, point number five. The mind, you begin to receive revelation. Can I go to Acts 11, verse 4? Acts 11, verse 4. But Peter explained it to them in order from the beginning, saying, I was in the city of Joppa, and I was hanging out watching Netflix till 2:30 in the morning and just doing my thing and chilling with the homeboys. I'm sorry, I must have read it wrong. Okay. I was in the city of Joppa, and I was just hanging out at the coffee bar, and I got a nice cappuccino, and we were just chilling and doing our thing. I was in the city of Joppa, and I was hooking up to the boat and putting the rods in it and getting ready to go do, you know, my real spiritual fishing, and me and God are going to connect on the boat. I was in the city of Joppa, and I was getting ready to... I was in the city of Joppa praying. I was praying. I was praying, and when I was praying, when that took place, I was in a trance, and I saw a vision, and an object descended like a great sheet and let down from the heaven by the four corners, and it came to me. When you get into the manifest presence of God, there's something very powerful, and there's definitely a correlation in the connection between praying and spending time with God, between praying and intimacy with God, between praying and communion with God. And it was out of that relationship, it's out of that spending time with him and praying and interceding that we see revelation come to him. And I've seen this time and time again in my own life. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I'll be trying to get ready for a youth service. And
I I'm researching and looking at all the scriptures, and I'll open this Bible and just flip through it from page to page, and I'll try to figure out what's going on. But if I close the Bible, I turn on some worship music, and I get into His presence, and I begin to get led by the Spirit, all of a sudden He'll reveal to me what it is that needs to be said. Amen? Okay. Point number six is your countenance is transformed. Exodus 34. Now it was so when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with them. And so when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Your countenance will begin to transform. You will begin to change from the inside out. Everything inside of you will begin to change to the point to where even your the way you carry yourself, your countenance will begin to change when you spend time with God. As I said during the offering, this precious woman of God that just has the joy of the Lord about her, she's like a walking gift of the Spirit, fruit of the Spirit. It's like everywhere she goes, she's happy, she's joyous, she just, love just floods out of her everywhere she goes. Well, can I also tell you that this woman is also a praying woman? And the more you spend time in His presence, you will begin to change from the inside out. And even when things are going really, really bad and you should just be all sorts of upset and angry and miserable and depressed and full of anxiety and full of worry and full of fear and all these different things should be coming upon you, when you spend time in the presence of God, your countenance begins to change, even to the point to where you can look at fear in the face and tell him, "Get behind me, Satan," with a smile. I got the joy of the Lord on me. I got the peace that surpasses all understanding. Why? Because I've spent time with Him. My countenance has changed. Amen? And the last point, and then we're going to close. And up until this point, everything I've spoken about has been between you and God. What happens between you and Him? When I spend time in His presence, this happens to me. When I spend time with Him, this is what happens to me. When I spend time with Him, my physical body is this. When I spend time with Him, time doesn't matter. When I spend time with Him, my spirit is renewed. When I spend time with Him, my all these different things, right? Up until this point, it's been you and Him, and you're transforming. Watch this. It's so powerful. Point number seven is people will know that you have been with God. And I know we talk about Moses all the time because Moses spent time with God, his countenance began to change, and when he came down off the mountain, everybody else noticed what he didn't notice. He was busy talking to them, and they're looking at him like, "Bubba, you shining. You're literally glowing in the dark. Moses, you don't see this?" Right? He didn't recognize it, but everybody else around him recognized it. Well, let's look at a New Testament object, and let's look at Paul. Was Paul with Jesus? But Paul did something very important. And you don't have to go there because I'm just going to just quickly run through them. But in Philippians 1, 3 through 8, it says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you always in every prayer of mine, making request for you." Colossians 1:3 says, "We give thanks to God to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." 2 Timothy 1:3, "I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day." 1 Corinthians 14:18, "I thank my God I speak with more than ye all." That's a bold statement. Paul was a man of prayer. He was a man of prayer. He loved to pray. He loved to encourage people to pray. In his letters to the other churches, he would encourage them to pray. I said this at the beginning. I shouldn't have to encourage the youth to pray. The youth should be busting the doors down to come to a prayer meeting. Because prayer isn't an option. It's a priority. Because it's out of that place of communion and intimacy with God. Now, is prayer the only way to commune and have intimacy with Him? No. Obviously, worship is high up there on that list with me as well. But Paul was a man of prayer.
Can we look at one example of Paul, and then we're gonna close, because I want to encourage somebody to get into the manifest presence of God, because it's his presence that'll transform your life. It is his presence that'll transform your family. It is his presence that'll transform everything around you. Wherever your feet shall tread, if you are in the presence of God, stuff is gonna begin to shift. Amen? Okay, Acts 19. Verse 11, Acts 19 and verse 11, it says, "Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even the handkerchiefs or the aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. And then some itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call on the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, 'We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches.'" Essentially, I don't know anything about this Jesus other than what I heard about it through somebody else. I don't have a relationship with him, but I heard some preacher talk about it. So I'm going to do these signs and wonders and miracles based off of what I heard someone else say. I want to challenge somebody. I want to encourage somebody this morning. You can have a relationship with him. You can have a relationship with him. You can begin to walk this road. You can get in his manifest presence. You can. You can. We don't need to be like that generation that was with Moses that said, "Listen, you go speak to God. You go do it for us. We want to watch you from the distance go up and speak to him face to face." No. We can. We can. I have access to this. You have access to this. We have something much greater than the old covenant. In the days of old, they would have killed to have this opportunity. Turn to your neighbor and say, "I have an opportunity." You have an opportunity to get into the manifest presence of God. I want to ask you this morning, what will you do when the king shows up? Okay. They took it upon, some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches." And also there were seven sons of Sceva and a Jewish chief priest who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus, I know." That's pretty common. I think we would all understand. Jesus has got a good relationship with God the Father. I mean, he is the Son of God. 100% man, 100% God. Right? So Jesus, I know. But this next statement is very profound. Paul, I know. But who the heck are you? We have access, guys. I want to encourage you. We have access. We have access to the manifest presence of God. We have an opportunity. Turn to your neighbor and say, "I have an opportunity. I have an opportunity. I have an opportunity." Don't let your opportunity pass you by. Every chance that we get to worship, I have said this before and I will say it again over and over and over again. Every chance that we have when we come to worship God the Father, we have an opportunity to worship him like it's our last opportunity. If you want things to change around you, I beseech thee, brethren, get into the presence of the King. If you want your family to change, listen, you can beat them over the head with the Bible. I've never won anybody into the kingdom beating them over the head with my Bible. I just upset them, and they manifest. We tried to do it with my stepmom and just give her scripture. They don't want to listen to scripture because they don't believe in God. But what changes them is when you begin to get in the presence of God and you begin to transform from the inside out, your countenance begins to change, and then everywhere that you go begins to change because you shift the atmosphere because of what you carry. You become a carrier of his presence. You are what you hang around. I'm going to end with this. Jonah was on the boat, and the seas were crashing and turning and bobbing all around, and it was all crazy. And the people on the boat were perishing, and the boat was filling up with water, and it wasn't a good situation because of who they were around. As soon as they kicked Jonah out, who was running away from his calling from God, the seas went flat, and they sailed on about their business. Be careful who you hang around. But as it applies in the negative, see, little Timmy and Johnny Sue can go to school and act an absolute fool at school because they hung out with little Bobby. And little Bobby's a really bad influence on little Timmy. And Timmy turns into a little punk because he hangs out with little Bobby. But if little Timmy would get in the prayer room and spend time with the king, all of a sudden little Timmy looks like the little holy one. You are what you hang around. If I go to Okeechobee, it doesn't take me long and I start talking real slow. Every sentence gets drawn way out. And my stories take a lot longer. Y'all best be happy because it'd take me 6 hours to preach if I was in Okeechobee. You are who you hang around. You begin to pick up characteristics and qualities. Mike, I just want the characteristics and the qualities of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It says in 2 Peter chapter 1 that if I would do these things in increasing measure, I can take part in the divine nature of God. Oh, I just beseech you, my friends and family, I want to encourage somebody in this next week, just seek Him with everything inside of you. Just seek Him with everything inside of you. Everything will begin to shift. Everything will begin to change. The Word of God says in Matthew 6:33 that if you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all of these things shall be added unto thee. The desires of your heart will be revealed openly when you do the right thing secretly. Just go for Him. Just go for Him. He is a good Father. He is a good Daddy. Amen? Can we pray this morning? Father, this morning in Jesus' mighty and precious name, I just ask, Lord, that You would take us further. Take us further. Father, we just desire to be with You. Father, we desire to be with You. Lord, in the good times and in the bad, when things are going great and when things are going rough, Father, we just want to spend time in Your presence. We love and adore You so much. Holy Spirit, I just ask that You would become such a reality to us, that You would not be an ominous thing off in the distance, but rather when we pray, Father, we would get the revelation that You are right there with us. Lord, I pray that our intimacy with You would increase. I pray that our relationship with You would increase. I pray, Father, that as the days go forth, we would go further with You. And it's out of that relationship that everything begins to change and everything begins to transform, because in Your presence, it must change. Father, I give You all the praise. I give You all the honor and I give You all the glory. We love and appreciate You so much. In Jesus' mighty and precious name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.